Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Autastic.
Yes.
That is over there, is the Kirk Smith.
Woo, woo.
I'm Graham Kay. We are two comedians.
Hopped up on sugar.
Yes, we just had a pecan pie.
Shout out to Glenn Smith for that pecan pie he mailed me.
Yeah, Kirk's brother wrote off some expensive award-winning pecan pie on his business.
I'm a client, a future client.
Future client, Kirk Smith, his brother. And he was like, he wants a pecan pie. And guys, pecan pie is my favorite pie. Little autistic secret for you guys out there. That's my favorite thing in the world is pecan pie. And I was like, yeah, I'll have some. And I had for Thanksgiving, I was invited to somebody's house and they offered pecan pie and I never turned down pecan pie. And especially as at somebody's house, and it was store-bought cheap pecan pie, and the pecans were like mushy. And
that's a mistake.
And I was just grossed out, and I needed a new pecan pie to reinvigorate my love for pecan pie. And you just did that for me right now.
It's from Texas.
And I'm jacked up because that's where they make good pecan pie, right?
South.
Texas, you gotta go south.
Yeah, they don't mess around.
I'm from Canada. You know what I mean? Like, we don't get good pecan pie up there.
We gotta get.
I can admit when we don't have something as good as you guys.
This is the first thing you've ever admitted, I gotta be honest.
It is.
We're episode 72. This is the first time you've ever said anything good about America.
That's not true.
Just joking.
Maybe
guys.
Texas, yes. But Texas, you have much better barbecue food, obviously.
Barbecue few.
Pecan pie, obviously. And for sure, football.
Almost pretty good.
Yeah.
Guys,
I'm sure a lot of other things.
This is not pecan pie-astic. This is autastic.
Mm-hmm.
Comedian's Guide to Autism.
You know, I sometimes like to go off script, Kirk, and let people know that I like pecan pie, all right?
You got to let people know where you stand on that pie.
Mm-hmm.
That very troublesome pie situation. This is the Comedian's Guide to Autism. We both have autistic family members. My son is 18-year-old son is severely autistic. Graham K, tell us about your brother.
He is on the, I would give him a 3 out of 5 on the autism scale that I just invented.
That means 3 hearts out of 5
because
it's all love.
It is all that. Hey, good for you, man. This is why we're
good team.
You saved me. You get, stop talking about pecan pie. This is an autism podcast.
No,
stop rating these human beings. They're hearts. That's fair.
Guys, we've got another interview this week. We've got a few of these. This is from a conference that I went to at Stanford University Medical Center. And
Kirk drove up to San Francisco.
Yeah, close. Palo Alto is right there. Right there. Right.
Who knows the difference?
Texas doesn't.
Yeah.
But
I want to go to Texas.
It's pretty great. I'm going to set you up at a comedy club if you want to do comedy there.
I do.
Yeah, I think it's great. This is Matt Omelega. And he runs a center for autistic people who are also criminals. I guess you shouldn't say criminals.
They're not also, criminals.
They are
ex-convicts.
Ex-convicts. That's what I meant to say. Who are ex-convicts who are trying to rebuild their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they need love, too.
Who are also autistic, if you could believe it.
Yeah. Which, man, talk about a specific Venn diagram of people that need love.
If I ever make it, this guy's getting all my money.
This would be a great thing to do, right? Imagine the discrimination you face as an autistic person, plus you're a criminal. People do not necessarily want to
next to you. Ex-con, not criminal.
Ex-criminal. Ex-convict.
Right.
Ex-convict, not criminal. Thank you. I needed that because otherwise the letters are going to be addressed you about pecan pie, me
but
about
labor people. But also, you have to understand, they're not criminals. They serve their time.
They serve their time. I agree.
And they probably didn't deserve to serve their time in the first place. But let's listen to an expert, right?
Let's do it. Here it is. Hey guys, welcome to another week of Autastic. I am on a special trip this week. I am at the Autism Society's San Francisco Bay Area annual conference. This is their third year, and it's Jill Escher, who's our roving reporters. It's her conference, and I thought it'd be great to talk to some of the presenters. So right now I'm sitting down with Matt
Omelega.
Omelega. I had it. I wrote it down.
So close.
I know I had it. You had to give me a second.
You did better than most.
I wrote it down. So we have a running joke in our podcast that I can't pronounce last names because I grew up overseas.
Perfect.
So if it's not in Spanish, it's not phonetic.
You can't do it.
I have no idea what we're talking about. Yeah.
Well, this is a perfect one for you. We're going to see. We're going to play a little game and see how many times you mispronounce my name throughout the podcast.
I'm just going to look right at it. Omelega.
Hey, huh? That's great. That's
works
great.
At
that's
Omelega
great.
Inc.
Hey, can't beat it.
So Matt, tell us what you do, Matt. Very interesting stuff.
So great. So what we do is we provide support services to people who are developmentally disabled who are also involved in the criminal justice system. So we run licensed care facilities, and we also do supported living services.
So like when, so, and you know more about this, I don't know this, but I've heard statistically, there's actually a lot of people in jail who do have some sort of mental problem. Is that correct?
That is correct. What we really focus on is people with a developmental disability who have been locked away in an institutional setting, like a Porterville Developmental Center or a state hospital, and transitioning back into the community for the first time, and they have a, you know, a jacket with them.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of this series called Serial. I don't know if you're familiar with it, that talks about the document. Basically, they're making a murderer, because you take somebody who maybe isn't a murderer.
Right.
Then you put them around people who are murderers.
Yes.
And you institutionalize them and beat them down physically, mentally, emotionally. And then you send them out to the wild. And guess what? Well, now they know.
You've created a perfect murderer.
That's exactly. It's truth, though, right?
True.
That's what's happening.
True. Yeah. So if you've been institutionalized, you pick up institutionalized behavior. And so our job is really, how do you transition someone back in the community who has been institutionalized?
Yeah. I would imagine anybody at any mental capacity or any whatever, you do some time, it's going to change you, and probably not for the better.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree. Couldn't agree. agree more.
Walk me through it. So let's say, how do you identify people? Are they come to you through the service or recommended, or how's it work?
So how's it work for us? You know, we get a call from the regional center, regional center, and they'll say, we have someone who's been institutionalized that's it's time to come out.
What's the average thing? Like 8 years or 5 months?
So we've worked with people who've been institutionalized for 20, 30 years sometimes, and some people who've been in for a couple years.
So you have to like explain cell phones to them. Literally, if you've been 30 years, you have to explain everything.
Listen, we had a guy once who, when he moved in with us, spent a whole night outside looking at cars because the make and models had changed so much.
Oh, yeah.
Last time he was out there. It was amazing.
He's like 40 miles a gallon. I remember when it was 4.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We get that. We get what is a microwave? You know, what is all this stuff?
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we have to.
Internet?
Really, exactly. So
there was no internet 4 years ago.
There's no internet, you know. And so you really have to take your time and really, you know, take it slow, meet people where they are, and slowly, you know, help them make it in community.
So you take somebody, you identify them, somebody's referred to you. Then what's the first step?
So the first step is, you know, where are they going to live?
Okay.
And so, you know, it's either going to be in one of our care homes, or it's going to be in a supported living arrangement where, you know, we find an apartment for the individual, they're able to rent their apartment, and then we wrap around services around that.
Now, Jill had mentioned, and maybe I misunderstood, but that Jill Escher had mentioned, who runs this conference, that you also help people that are on the severe end. Like my son is on the severe end. So he does, like, he's potty trained at 10. He says like 8 things. He'll say like no bath, no night. I don't want to go to school, whatever. He'll say no. But so you help severe people, or it's people that are just exited the.
Both. So
okay.
We,
so I thought
we do both, and you know, we have a behaviors team, and who work really well with folks who have severe behaviors, and we really focus on meeting people where they are and developing a plan for that individual.
That's very interesting. So, somebody gets out. First step, housing.
First step, housing.
Second
number
step.
One, services happen in housing.
Right. It makes sense. You gotta sleep. You
gotta do it.
Yeah, roof over the head. So next, what's job? What's the next step?
Well, next is then really finding a good support team.
Okay.
You know, what staff are going to work well with this individual, and who is this individual, right? If, you know, if we, for example, if we're working with your son, who is he and what does he need? And, you know, what does severe mean? Severe means something different to everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
And
you met one person with autism.
You've met one person, right? No one's the same. So that's what I really love about this work is, you know, no two packets are the same. And so we really get to start the discovery, you know, with each person.
So how many people are you working with right now?
Currently working with about 40 people.
Okay.
Because what we do is take one-on-one. It takes about 6 to 8 workers for one person. And so, you know, we spend
that
type
of focus. Think of that, but yeah, I guess so, right?
Yeah, 24 hours a day.
Yeah,
so we do 8-hour shifts. So, you know, the average, if everything goes right on 1 week, you know,
nobody
we have 6 people.
Sick.
No one calls us sick. But that's probably happened
Nobody gets headbutted by my son or something crazy happens to them and they break the bridge of their nose and they need to take a week off.
Exactly. So we need about, you know, 6 to 10 people for every one person
we serve. Now, I was joking, but I'm serious. My son's a little bit physical. I call
it.
So So that's a common thing too, right, for you guys or no?
Absolutely. You know, we had an individual, love him to death, but put his head through our bay window.
My son's done that.
And we deal with all sorts of different things. Yeah. You know, but yeah, that would fall under severe.
Right.
And it's right up our category.
Well, that's very interesting. So what drew you to this? Tell them a little bit about your background.
Great. So my background is, you know, I'm a social worker, got a social work degree from Columbia University.
So you're clearly trying to make money. I get it.
Exactly. Really hardcore capitalist for those people who are
really trying to make your first billion.
If you really want to make your first billion.
I hear that's the best way, helping people.
The scalability in this business is fantastic. So I suggest you get into this work. No, you know, I had a job when I was an undergraduate, working at a gym. And when I was at this gym, I saw one staff come in with about four or five autistic individuals. And I said, you know, what are they doing? And the guy working with me said, those are crazy people up the hill. Why don't you go work there? Because they hire anybody. So I did. I went up the hill and went to go, you know, work at a place, Moss Beach Homes.
So this is like
it was a ranch style program with about four or five group homes clustered together. And you know
where's this at?
This was in Turlock, California. Turkey
I don't
Tech.
Know that is. Modesto.
Turkey Tech. Love it. Shout out to all my Stanislaus Warriors out there.
Right by Denair.
Absolutely. Hilmar Cheese.
One of my best friends is from Turlock, played basketball. We're about the same age. Clint Ledeen. Anyway, we can talk about this off the air. But anyway, he played in the pros. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely. Love Stanislaus. Best basketball players. But so when I was there, it was the best job I ever had.
Why is that?
I was like, I didn't feel like the work I was doing, I would have done it for free. It's like I was going to hang out with these guys, play basketball with these guys, swim, and just, you know, help them through their day. And so it really motivated me to say, hey, look, I found what I love. Let's see if we can kind of make a career out of this. So
as they say, right? You find something you love, you never work another day in your life.
That's right. And for me, that's how it's been. So I started off, you know, down that path and skipped the business school, went to social work school, and now I'm in the business of helping people.
Wait a minute, but off the air, you said something about that you lived in West Africa for a while, or what happened there?
Yeah, actually, you know, I'm an oil brat. My mother worked at an oil company. My father's from Nigeria, West Africa. And so my early days, I spent 13 years living in Nigeria, came back to the States, and then went to school here. And so, yeah.
That's funny. I was a missionary kid, so same thing. We're like Ecuador, El Salvador, and Costa Rica. But we had in Ecuador, there's a few oil brats. Ecuador has oil, yeah. But mostly it's Venezuela was back then. And the kids would come to boarding school. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
So childhood in Nigeria, wow.
Right. Good perspective.
Yeah, it's a totally different perspective, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's going through lots of different experiences and working with different people, really helps you for this work, you know, because this work is all we're really doing here is working with people one-on-one, and starts with empathy, starts with compassion and love. And once you have that, then you build a plan and you see if you can work with
that's super encouraging on this side as a father to hear somebody say, no, you want to go in this with compassion and love, because like that's one of your number one fears as a parent. You're like, somebody's gonna take this job because they need $9 an hour or whatever it is, right, and then just like hose my kid off in the front lawn or something. I know that sounds absurd, but that's your fear, besides that you get molested or anything else, but just that he's not gonna be treated like a human being.
Right.
You know, that's one of your biggest, like, his mom was like, that was her biggest thing, that he's just not gonna be treated like a human being, you know, or he's gonna be molested. And yeah.
Right. In our agency, we have a phrase, you know, hire for attitude, train aptitude, right? If you come in and you're empathetic, you have compassion, you're patient, we can work with you and we can teach you the other skills. But that's really the key, you know, and, you know, we can't control the sort of the economics of this work, but, you know, you also can't teach compassion.
Yeah.
You know, so that's
so
what we do.
So we have a little segment on this podcast called We Can Review. And walk me through your week a little bit. Like, what did you do this week?
Well, what I love about this work is no week is the same. But I'll tell you, we had a couple of interesting things happen this week. They're kind of funny. So one, you know, we follow our folks who are in the community sometimes to their court hearings, you know, and try to help them.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing, right?
Absolutely. You know, the diversion plans and make sure that they're on track. So this week we're in court. We visited a locked facility, and also had an individual who's recently been placed ask me how he is going to masturbate in the community now that what is he going to do? So I have one of our highly skilled managers.
The kid said, not the kid, but the client said that?
The client said that. So one of my managers, one of my favorite managers, his job this week was to take this individual down to an adult shop and get him what he needed to make sure that we had a replacement behavior for his urges in the community.
So let me ask you this. So we had to have a conversation with my son where it was like, my son's on the very severe end, but I talk about this on stage that he's a man. Like he might be 4 or 5 in his mind, but he's a man. He's built like a man.
Yeah.
And he loves women.
Yeah.
So we had to have a whole conversation about that's in the bedroom.
Right.
That's, you got to do that in the bedroom like everybody else. You can't, can't take that on the bus.
Right.
That's bedroom time. That's bedroom behavior. So is that, you have to have that conversation basically?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the things I love about this work is, especially in sort of residential supported living, is you see all sides of a person. And, you know, you forget that. You're right. These are people. They have urges. They have needs. And you have to address all facets. So, you know, we can focus on behavioral plans and things like that. But something as basic as, hey, how do I masturbate in the community?
But he vocalized that?
He vocalized that. And so it's our job is providing wraparound services to make sure that we did a good service.
Well, that's one of the frustrations with my son, that he doesn't really talk.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the upside. I have never had to have that conversation with my son where he goes, "Where can I get my porn?"
the manager was completely.
I thought you were gonna say the manager went back and said, "Let me show you about the internet. This is the internet. You've been on a loop for a long time. This is called the internet. Everything ever made is here, both good and bad."
Right. Ugh. That could lead to some more problems with our group. So.
That's probably not good. So what is the deal with that? So some of these guys are girls, I guess. Is it all guys or girls?
No, guys or girls.
So they're on parole, right?
I guess. Some could have parole conditions or probation conditions.
So you have to keep an eye like on...
Absolutely. Right. And some, you know, some had charges earlier, but were incompetent to stand trial, so, you know, have committed some crimes, quote unquote, but weren't convicted. So you have to sort of watch out for
accused, basically.
Exactly.
Huh. So what? So not, I don't want you to name names,
sure,
because it's confidential, but I'm guessing everything, right? You have somebody that's convicted of murder or everything, right? For traffic tickets to everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or nothing, I guess, because if it's just people are severe.
Yeah, you know, murder, assault, you know, and we actually also work with people who sometimes committed sex offenses. And, you know, I really love that about our agency because, you know, those folks have disabilities too, and they tend to sometimes get marginalized and in a way discriminated against among service providers. No one wants to really touch that hot button issue, but, you know, they need somewhere to go to. So we try to tackle some cases with some folks who've had some sex offenses in their background.
That's true. Think of that. Yeah, I guess so.
And really try to help them make it in the community.
Yeah, that would be a tough one. If you're already, I mean, as an autistic person, you're already disenfranchised to a certain, you know, extent, or you're already looked down upon. But I guess looked down upon.
Sure.
You're also, the society in general is not, or the community is not the most welcoming to the disabled, in my opinion.
No.
And then also an offense. You're talking about people that are really, for lack of a better word, down and out. Like, you're in a tough spot.
Yeah.
You're like in a real tough spot. Yeah.
Tough spot. Yeah. Yeah. And then also this week, you know, dealt with an angry community who said they didn't want this group.
Well,
in
I'm guessing there's someone that's like, not in my backyard, right? That's got to be a thing where people are like, that's great work. Not here, please.
Exactly. Exactly. Please do that somewhere else.
Yes. How does that work? What do you do about that? How do you?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I think it's all on the individual level. So I go out and talk to people and try to, you know, hey, I could turn this group home into a frat house or something, make it worse for you. But, you know, it's really, you know, each neighborhood's different. Each person is different, has different fears. And we get different fears. Sort of my property values may go down, or, you know, I don't like the people you're dealing with, or, you know, who's in there. And you're also walking a tightrope because you also want to protect the rights of the people coming into the facility. And no one has the right to know about their individual needs.
Unless they do, right? Unless there's a specific...
Unless you're mandated to report.
Yes, unless you're mandated to report by the city, then I'm sure you comply to all those, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense.
Exactly. Then we have no choice.
So, yeah, but if somebody's, you know, trying to rebuild their life and they stole something and they're trying to rebuild, they're allowed to rebuild and the law doesn't say... So, yeah, I get that.
That's
right. Plus they're disabled and that's a complicated issue with the disability. Yeah, that's the big argument against death row, too, that a lot of these people on death row aren't really, that's a different podcast. I really shouldn't go down this road. Well, I don't take too much of your time. I know you're presenting in the next event.
And I just wanted to say you officially killed all prep time, so I'll be winging my presentation. So I apologize now for anybody who comes to my presentation.
Guys, if you're in the Bay Area and you need to talk to somebody about this or refer somebody, tell us the name of your name one more time, where they can find you.
Sure. My name is Matt Omelega, and my agency is Omelega Inc., www.omelega.com, O-M-E-L-A-G-A-H.
Thank you so much for making time for us. You can do it. You've got this. You've got this next presentation. It's going to be great.
Thank you, guys. I'll be freestyling.
Like I said before, that guy's getting all my money. That guy, Matt?
Omelega.
Matt Omelega is a very intelligent, kind, and not unlike Jill, energetic person. So he is what the world needs more of. He is an incredible human being, and I like that guy. And it is that subject, like what he's doing there, is some of the most amazing, profound work. It is the fact that these people with autism were sent to jail is so sad to me. So sad. It's like heartbreaking. My brother grew up in any other family in a different world, in a different country, and he could be in jail. And the idea of him being so scared in jail and confused, I want to jump off a cliff.
And the next step is they would turn him into a criminal.
You know, he's 18. He's angry. He's hormonal. We talked about this last episode. You know. I mean, you know, these guys, they spend their whole friggin' time in jail, and they're with general population, and then they're, oh my God. And then, so he's helping them. He's helping them in being in a home, and I understand that some people, communities don't want these homes near them, but it's better than on the street. You don't want these people on the street unsupervised and not knowing what the internet is, or haven't seen a woman in 30 years, or how to talk to them and stuff. And I think one of the most adult, intelligent things to do was to take that guy to the adult store. In the interview, Matt's like, he's like, this one guy asked, well, how will I masturbate in public?
Yeah.
It's like, not first in public. Of all, kudos for asking. That's true. So awesome that he asked.
No, there's such thing as a dumb question. Good question.
There's no such thing as a dumb question. There's only dumb answers. And the great answer was not in public. Yeah. And let's get you things that will enable you to keep that in the bedroom like everyone else.
Bedroom time, buddy. Yeah. Bedroom time. Go hump the mattress.
And you had that conversation with your son.
Oh, yeah.
Classic father-son don't masturbate on the bus conversation.
He has this thing, I've talked about this before, where he asks permission to masturbate, which is always very unusual. It's always very unusual.
I'm sorry.
Comes out.
I'm not laughing at him asking to masturbate. I'm picturing your face.
As a crazy person.
Like, because you're a Christian man.
I'm an adult Christian
you're
man.
You're an adult. Oh, God.
who's raised a family, who likes to box, who likes this, likes that. And then you have an 8-year-old boy come ask you to masturbate. Hey, can I masturbate now? Yes, that's fine.
Please yes, that's fine.
What do you say?
You have to say yes, that's fine. Yeah. And I love that you have to say it.
That's brutal.
That makes me happy.
What are you gonna do?
That's what you gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Well, guys, this is it. I like this episode.
What an incredible interview.
Just incredible guy, and it's encouraging. It really sounds corny, but warms my heart. People dedicate their time and effort to do this.
Simultaneously, the saddest and happiest episode we've ever
isn't
done.
Isn't that how life is, though?
Yes.
The bitter is never as sweet without the bitter.
Sit down.
He just stood up. No, but it's like the sweet is never as sweet without the bitter. You need the bitter to like really give you a...
Absolutely.
To change your palate and give you a little... Yeah, anyway. So
I agree.
If you have money, you can look up Matt if you need to, refer to somebody. And you can find us on Autastic Podcast on Facebook. Please like us.
You can go to patreon.com/autastic to donate to the show. You can donate as little as $1 per episode. And that dollar goes a long way. And yeah.
Find us on Twitter, Instagram. Guys, you can do it. We love you. Have a great week.
Thank you.